The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Steph and Tubbs Show, second hour on your Monday, and we are cold outside, about 34 degrees. High tomorrow, 45, 59, maybe 60 degrees Wednesday. We could see our first Denver snow by Friday, and that would be great. And listen, I made this comment on Saturday, just popped back into my mind thinking about the first snow. You've been hearing all of this, oh, we're breaking records. Have over 200 days since we had the first snow, going all the way back to 19-something or other. And so I did a little bit of digging, and yeah, that is definitely a record. But there was an even longer record, and I didn't have it written down in front of me, so I don't remember the exact number of days, but 200-plus days since more than we've gone so far now, a record that goes all the way back to the 1800s. Long before there was any nonsense garbage about man-caused global climate warming. And of course, you know, if you go to other parts of the world, it's cold right now. Blizzards in Hawaii, I heard about last week, and all of that. So when you hear them, the scaremongers, trying to tell you, see, we're warming up because we haven't had snow in a couple hundred days, we have records longer than the one we're setting right now, all the way back in the 1800s, right here in Denver, Colorado. And we didn't keep records very well much before that. So we don't know how long it's been or how the things fluctuate over the course of millennia. And we sure shouldn't be reacting to it in any particular decade or even lifetime. It's just absolutely outrageous. All right, we'll get back to some conversation on the Douglas County School Board, newly installed conservatives, and the concern about this vote tomorrow night to spend $35 million on the old Wildlife Experience building. Joy Overbeck will join us at 5 o'clock. U.S. Senate candidate Deb Flora comes in at about 6 o'clock. I haven't talked to her on the radio. I've seen her several times. I haven't talked to her on the radio since she became a U.S. Senate candidate. So I'm really looking forward to that. But man, oh man, am I looking forward to this next conversation. My Sharona joins us now. America's Mom, Sharona Bishop, live on 710 KNUS. Good afternoon.
Well, I know you were waiting all day to do that, and you even hit it right on point. Well done.
Actually, last time we tried to do that, we had it on YouTube, and it didn't. It was queued up, and it just didn't hit, and then it blasted us. So I always do.
Yeah, well, perfection today.
Always.
Perfection. Thank you for having me with you. What a wild couple weeks it's been.
Yeah, and thank you for on such short notice, because I called you, I think, at 2:45 or 2:30 or something, and you said sure. So I appreciate that greatly. But very exciting. Saw the pictures yesterday. You were out in Mar-a-Lago over the weekend for the Moms for America group, the formerly Homemakers for America. I just love that. I kind of wish they'd have kept that name, because it's just so folksy and so reminds me of the good old days, you know, that I sort of remember in black and white when I was in school, and we had the little black and white TV that I learned about the assassination of JFK. And but Moms for America, very cool. They had their gathering at Mar-a-Lago, and you guys had a very special guest. So let's talk about the group, who the guest was, and then we'll jump into some of the hot topics.
Well, I will say Moms for America, this has been really my first introduction, and Kimberly Fletcher is absolutely incredible and has been doing this work for years. And I'm really humbled when you get to be around these people who've seen the problems far longer than you have been at the wheel a lot longer than you have, and they warmly welcome you into the fold. And I'm just grateful, because sometimes we feel isolated and as moms and as activists, just trying to have some measure of decency around our children in our schools. And you realize that there are, you know, there's millions of moms across this country that feel the same way, and they're activated, they're ready to roll. And yesterday was such a beautiful example of that. We were having an extraordinary event recognizing some incredible mothers and the efforts that they've made in their areas. And wouldn't you know it, number 45 decided to walk in because he believes in the mothers, and he knows that it's moms that are really moving the dial right now. The good things that have happened, the silver linings, if you will, that have happened with COVID, that have happened with the illegitimate regime right now, is that the mothers are awake. And they are not going, we're just not going to allow for our children to grow up in a hopeless, desolate, communist country. We're not going to have it. And so to be with all of them and to hear the president say, you know, he's with us and he understands, he's going to continue to support mothers and our efforts that we're making with our children, be a voice for us and with us. It was pretty overwhelming. And I did have a very lovely exchange with the president, and took a selfie with him. His security was a little irritated, but it was wonderful to know that he knows. He's very aware of what's happening and what's been going on, and we're not forgotten. And I know a lot of people ask all the time, where's the president? What's he saying? What's he doing? Well, as he said yesterday too, you know, we are the solution. We are. We don't live in a kingdom. We're a constitutional republic where the people have the responsibility to keep the government in check and to create the system that we want, to create the country that we want. And so the solution is us. It's not number 45. It's not one single individual. It's we the people. And I appreciate that message over and over. So if you're feeling lost or you're feeling unsure about the future, get busy, take action, do something. And that really was the message of the president yesterday.
Well, and it's interesting because the only reason Donald Trump is constantly getting involved, did 2 hours worth of interviews with Mark Levin on his Sunday night show on Fox. He's issuing statements, proclamations. He's doing endorsements mm-hmm. of candidates, all kinds of mm-hmm. things. But because social media, because the conglomerates are so afraid of his message, his power, his reach, they've silenced him temporarily. So, you know, mm-hmm. unless somebody's actually sort of knows where to look, you wouldn't know that Donald Trump is still making plenty of waves.
Which is really fascinating, too, to be on with you and being able to get our story out. I mean, from day one, you've been a supporter and you never have backed away from tough topics and hard conversations. And I appreciate that so much. You're exactly right. The mainstream and the social media gurus and the big tech guys, they are silencing our words. They're silencing our representation. They're silencing our elected officials. And if they can have their way, they'll silence every Congress member in Congress who opposes their ideology and opposes the program that they're running throughout this nation. And so we do have to know about alternative media. I really want to say publicly too how much I appreciate Salem Media, you know, allowing us to get this message out, to get our story out. The parents and the committed citizens of America that are pushing back on bad policies that hurt kids, our voices need to be heard, and that shouldn't be a taboo subject. And President Trump's message to the public should not be a taboo subject either.
It's absolutely insane. Before we move away from Moms for America, first of all, it's easy. The website there is momsforamerica.us, momsforamerica.us. And I love the sort of when you Google Moms for America, it comes up there. The first hit is Moms for America, healing America from the inside out. And isn't that what moms do? They heal things. They, you know, the touch, the comfort and all of that. And this is a group of moms from every background across the nation who have been activated by finally, and I suppose we have the CCP virus to thank for this, at least one good thing that's come out of it. We have the homeschooling and the Zoom schooling and parents actually seeing the junk that's been spoon-fed to their children for an entire year firsthand, and they're outraged. And then we still don't know. I mentioned in telling folks that you were going to be on today about the FBI raid on your house, and we'll talk about that. We don't know if that was based on your activism in flipping your school board up there mm-hmm. or the fact that you are friends with Tina Peters and have talked about, you know, what she's done. But Moms for America are awake, and they're showing up in force. And we flipped, what, 7 school boards or 9 school boards in Colorado?
9 school boards at last count were flipped in the state of Colorado by active, committed parents who are well aware now of the indoctrination that's been happening with their kids, and they've had enough. And they're not going to allow their children to be abused in exchange for a publicly funded education. We're not doing that. This is America. And I would say, too, you know, when we talk about what's been going on with me personally, there are two issues we're not allowed to talk about in America. We are not allowed to talk about election irregularities, and we are not allowed to talk about and voice our concern with out-of-control school boards. And so whether it is the DOJ's commitment from October 4th to label parents as domestic terrorists who oppose their school boards, who maybe they speak too loudly, maybe they didn't say pretty please and get on their knees and beg for their children to be unmasked. I don't know what it takes today. But I know, according to the congressional hearings, that the DOJ absolutely did begin tagging parents and calling them domestic terrorists based on their activities at their own school boards. Since November 16th, the incident at my home, we've seen multiple parents be arrested following their school board meetings. We've seen a pastor in Texas, a former Marine in Texas, fathers who were standing up for their kids, be arrested simply because the school board didn't like their message. And so these are things that should really alarm us. They should wake us up, and they should have us be going, in America, we don't do this. And there's something very, very wrong if you're saying, well, if you would just calm it down, if you would just, you know, calm it down just a little bit, be a little quieter, be a little softer, a little gentler. When it comes to our kids, we can't afford that. We've had too many years now of letting the status quo, the system, as you will, do whatever they wanted, teach whatever they wanted, however they wanted. We've given them too much control over our children, and we have to take that back. And sometimes there's what we call a critical period or a concentrated effort. And that's what we're in right now. It's a concentrated effort that takes a little bit more to get back to a balance, right, where the school systems are educating our kids. We've given our permission to do that, but they are not indoctrinating them. They are not sexualizing them. They're not separating them from their families, from their moms and their dads. And that's a balance that we've got to get right side up again.
Without a doubt. And it, you know, we got a taste of it. These off-year elections are just so poorly attended and so poorly participated in by the general public. And yet there was a tremendous focus around the country, including the 9 school boards flipped here in Colorado, on paying attention to that and putting a stop to it. And that sends a message to the left, which is why I think the political pressure, the intimidation, the FBI raids on a you know, homeschooling mother like you, no criminal charges anywhere in sight, are being stepped up because they know that their time is limited. And if they don't squash it now, it's going to be very hard for them to keep the lid on this boiling cauldron of frustration and liberty that's about to spill over into America.
You know, that's right. And one of the reasons I was so anxious to speak with you today is because we can't let up. We can't let the pressure up yet. In fact, I hope we never do. I hope that this becomes a normalcy in our lives where we are engaged, we are active, we are holding our government accountable, our elected officials accountable in every area, because it's our duty. We can only live free. We can only have this republic. We can only be free people if we're engaged. And so my hope is, yeah, we had some victories. But that's not where we end. It's really only just the start. We had a few things that we can celebrate, but now we have to really dig in and see those things through. And as parents, a lot of times people are asking, well, what do we do next? Well, we need to go through the curriculum. We need curriculum boards, parent curriculum boards established. We need to do inventories at the libraries at our schools and make sure that we don't have pornographic material, that we don't have indoctrinative material, that we don't have, you know, material that's not age appropriate for the kids to be reading and going through together without parent consent. So that's a really big deal. That's one thing that needs to be tapped into right away. While we have this incredible conservative effort, while we have the conservative majority in a lot of these very, very challenging areas like El Paso County, and of course, Douglas has done a phenomenal job in my own backyard, we have to double down and make sure that this is not just a one-time victory and then it's back to status quo, parents checking out and letting the state parent their children. We can't allow that. So we have that burden of responsibility now to make sure that we stay connected with our kids and we remain the parents in charge.
Talking with Sharona Bishop, America's mom. She was at the Moms for America event at Mar-a-Lago with special guest, surprise visitor, Donald J. Trump, who she got to converse with a little bit, take a selfie. Pretty cool, all of that. Sharona, it's obvious that we're not going to finish all this in one segment. What is your time like?
You know, I am a mom, and I am having to go into my child's meeting right now. But
okay.
I do just want to say thank you so much for all of the work that you've done. We're gearing up for the next round of our school board meetings here where I live to get the masks off of our kids.
Can I just
ask
you? Can I just ask you one quick question?
Yeah, please.
You mentioned, you know, thanking Salem for letting you get your message out. I know you've spoken with Michael Gallagher, Salem host. I think you've been on with Sebastian Gorka, Salem host. They have a national show, a national perspective. What was their take, just a quick summary, of the way the FBI battered down your front door, dragged your daughter up and down the stairs?
Well, inappropriate use of force. I mean, it's understood very clearly in the FBI world that sort of treatment is reserved for criminals, for violent criminals at that, and drug smugglers, those sorts of people, those sorts of situations, and that does not fit my situation at all. So a lot of shock, a lot of surprise that this actually happened in America, and that not only that, but the kind of the denial of it. You know, in Colorado, Phil Weiser and the district attorney in Mesa County, Deanne Rubenstein, who's helped to do this investigation and serve these warrants, they released a joint press statement saying that no force was used. They refused to acknowledge my name. They refuse to acknowledge what happened at my home.
Incredible.
And they've lied effectively to the public. So, yeah, shock and awe from Mike Gallagher.
Text messages coming in. She is amazing, continuing to do and believe in what she does after what the FBI did to her. Hugs to her. Anonymous texter. So give your website, and we'll let you get off to being a mom.
Absolutely. Please come follow us at americasmom.net. We are now finally on Getter as well.
Thanks so much, Sharona. Have a good afternoon. I'll talk to you very, very soon. God bless.
Thank you so much, Randy. Have a great day.
All right. And we're already at the break. That's too bad. I had hoped we'd get a chance to talk about the attacks on Lauren Boebert by this nut job.
Bird and privilege. I think most of we're getting privilege scrub. Because privilege scrub is deadly to a bill.
Yes, privilege scrub is deadly to a bill. I'm not the
third in line to be commander-in-chief of this fine nation. Yeah, but she didn't have time for it, so that leaves plenty of time for you and me. 303-696-1971, 696-1971. Lots of opinions coming in on the text to studio app about this Douglas County building purchase, including some strong support for the brand new current Douglas County recently elected board members. So that is really, really good to see. Don't forget, we'll talk to Joy Overbeck for more detail on that in the 5 o'clock hour. U.S. Senate candidate Deb Flora. My first interview with her as a candidate. Talk to her all the time, but I have not had her on the radio. So really looking forward to letting her share her campaign vision with you. That's in the 6 o'clock hour. Lots of open lines between then and now. Hope to see you then. Stay with us on 710 KNUS. Some songs just make me smile. Let them breathe. Starting to cool, 31 degrees in Aurora, 33 warmer over there in hell, otherwise known as Denver. Dark, man. It's, oh, dark 30, and it's only 4:27 on your Monday afternoon. I'm Randy Corporan in for Stephen Tubbs. Stephen is back tomorrow live at the homeless rehab, the home of where they actually help people get out of homelessness and drug and alcohol addiction, step 13. I think Peter's broadcasting live there tomorrow morning as well. So both of our drive shows, morning drive and afternoon drive, live from step 13. I imagine they're doing their fundraising and all of that. And what a great, great organization to support. I hope you'll tune in to both or maybe even get down there and show some support for the live hosts. Peter in the morning, Stephen Tubbs tomorrow afternoon at step 13. So a lot of questions coming in on Sharona. I thought we might be able to have her a while longer, but there's just so many things to talk about right now. I think we'll move on. I did tease in the first hour, part one of Sad Little Man, that wonderful YouTube song, video, audio by a group or a guy, whatever he is, that calls himself Five Times August. And it's all about this guy.
So if they get up and criticize science, nobody's going to know what they're talking about. But if they get up and really aim their bullets at Tony Fauci, well, people could recognize there's a person there. So it's easy to criticize. But they're really criticizing science, because I represent science.
I represent science. The guy who told you a year ago in January that we wouldn't really have to worry about the CCP virus in America, who told you that on 60 Minutes that masks really don't do anything to, you know, we're not going to need to wear them in the United States. Then it's one mask, then it's two masks. Then told you that if you just get this untested vaccine, and I listen, I know it's been tested. I know mRNA technology has been around a while. I was on a conference call last night with Dr. Robert Malone, the inventor of mRNA technology, who is now going state to state, testifying to state legislatures, testifying in court cases, trying to get people to stay away from vaccinating their children for a host of reasons. I was texting with him before the show, man, trying like crazy to get him on, and it could still happen maybe in the 6 o'clock hour, but it's real short notice for a guy who's got an awfully tight schedule. But yeah, when they talk about me, they're talking about science. This guy, the sad little man. Verse 2.
Sad little man, gonna trap you like a dog. Put your head in the net while they eat you raw. Don't ask why, just comply. Cause fear is the drug that the doc prescribed. Sad little man, you can watch him on the news. Preaching to his choir while they learn the rules. Some feel safe and some feel healed. But they'll all hold his hand as he makes the kill. Sad little man, sad little man. You better run now while you know.
There was so much medical misinformation. And if you heard part one in the last hour, it's the same. It's just a parody. A little bit of truth in there, you know, the torturing of beagles and all of that. But no medical information. But YouTube, man, it got so popular so fast, they had to shut it down and demonetize. And actually, they took it completely down. And then because there were such complaints and the group or person, is that a group or a person? Do you have any idea, Matt? Look that up for me, because I just don't know. Five Times August complained about it. So they put them back up, but they demonetized them. So, you know, that's just a death knell, especially if you're an artist and you earn, and I don't know how you monetize YouTube exactly. I've never looked into it, but so much fear on the left that they have to shut us down. They just have to. Nancy Pelosi, you know, threatening to strip Lauren Boebert of her committees for her, just her horribly anti-Muslim comments, and not a word about what Ilhan Omar has said for all the years she's been in Congress, the anti-Semitism, the terrorism-promoting garbage that comes out of her mouth. It's because they're terrified. It's because they're terrified. When you're over the target, you know that that you're getting their attention and that they don't like it. And listen, for Lauren Boebert, who I met with Sharona Bishop at the very same event at the Capitol long before Lauren had announced any kind of a candidacy or made that decision, as far as I know, they're going to keep coming at her just as hard as they can, because they are terrorized by outspoken Congress critters like Lauren Boebert, by candidates and eventual first-term presidents, Donald J. Trump. And so they have to keep slugging every single way, keep you distracted from what they're really saying, what they really mean, the success of their actions, the things they stand up for, the things they stand against. The media is terrified. I get victimized by that on a very tiny schedule. A couple weeks ago, on my Saturday morning show, I was referring to the putative president, Joe Biden, as the pedophile in chief. And I said it a few times, but the context was this new video was out, very fresh video, of him approaching a little girl in her mother's arms. And he's just so creepy. And then the people who called in and complained to the radio station, and Kyle Snark, who was very offended by this, referred to me as a highest Republican official, I think, or something like that in Colorado, and, you know, really trying to give me significance as RNC committee man so that he could draw attention to this statement that I made. But the video is creepy, sleepy, zombie Joe doing his best, you know, little Simpsons, that old bald professor guy that's all bony and kind of rubbing his hands together, and he's walking in. I don't know if it's just old age curving his spine or if he was really sort of, you know, kind of getting ready to attack. But he walks into this little girl, and he starts to get creepy with her. He's wanting to stick his finger into her ear. And you know how he smells kids and just likes to touch them and everything? And the little girl took her left arm and I used to teach white dragon, student teach white dragon kung fu. So I just recognized the move. I mean, her left arm just like, achi! Knocked his arm. She's like 3 or 4 years old. Knocked his arm away. And he stepped back. He stopped. And it was just another example. There's creepy video of him pawing at Cory Gardner's daughter during Cory's swearing in when Biden was an actual vice president. And there's so many videos out there. So it just leads to the creepy Joe. And I said the pedophile in chief. And man, oh man, Kyle Snark got so upset about that. He tweeted about it. He said, without evidence, without proof. And if I had had the time, I was going to go find all the dozens of creepy Joe Biden videos and retweet them and tag to Kyle's tweet about me and my comment. But then I heard this, and it led to my apologies on Saturday to Kyle Clark.
Thank you so much for that question. I use the term minor attracted person or MAP in the title and throughout the book for multiple reasons. First of all, because I think it's important to use terminology for groups that members of that group want others to use for them. And MAP advocacy groups like Before You Act have advocated for use of the term MAP. They've advocated for it primarily because it's less stigmatizing than other terms like pedophile. A lot of people, when they hear the term pedophile, they automatically assume that it means a sex offender. And that isn't true, and it leads to a lot of misconceptions about attractions toward minors. I've definitely heard the idea that you brought up, though, that the use of the term minor attracted person suggests that it's okay to be attracted to children. But using a term that communicates who someone is attracted to, it doesn't indicate anything about the morality of that attraction.
So when I found that, that's a Professor Alan Walker. Not sure, man, woman. I saw some face hair, I think, on the video, but very effeminate in characteristics. Alan, the way it's spelled, it could be Aline or something. I don't know. But this is one of those people that is that characterizes themselves as non-binary, so you're supposed to refer to their pronouns. You getting any of those emails where people are telling you what their pronouns are? This person's pronouns are they, them, or their. So you're not supposed to refer to this person as a he or she or an it or anything else. It's supposed to be they, their, and them. But she wrote a book about the pedophilia and minor attracted persons, the stigma of using the term pedophile, and instead is encouraging people to use the term minor attracted persons. And so two things came out of that for me. First, my apology to Kyle Clark on Saturday, which you can hear in its entirety if you've got the 710KNUS app or if you go to 710KNUS.com. Download the podcast for Wake Up with Randy Corcoran. This was in the third hour, 11 o'clock. But to just sum it up, I apologize to Kyle, and I promised that I would try really, really hard to stop referring to Joe Biden as the pedophile in chief, and instead for going forward, because I don't want any stigma, in spite of how creepy all of those videos are, and the stories from Hunter Biden and the Biden daughters, and ugh. But from here on out, I will do my best. No promises, because I'm only human, to refer to our putative president as the minor attracted person in chief, if I'm talking about his sexual proclivities or his creepy, sneaky, grabby, touchy, sniffy videos that are everywhere on the internet for any and all of you to go see. But there was something else that I got out of that little clip with Professor Alan Walker that I am interested in your thoughts on. And We've got, we're going to have to hit the break here pretty quick, but we'll get back to the phones on the other side. Joy Overbeck will join us at the top of the hour, and we'll put some more information, some more context into the Douglas County School Board Wildlife Experience Building purchase decision that apparently is going to be made tomorrow night. Through the great work of producer Matt Steinkruger, it looks like we'll be speaking to one of the school board members as well, Kylie Weingard, at 5:45 here on the Stephen Tubbs Show. So we'll really get to the bottom of all that. But I was bothered by, you know, that recording. I'm not comfortable with that, destigmatizing pedophilia. Not comfortable with it. But this professor was actually removed, put on administrative leave from her position at Old Dominion College as a result of, I don't know, the book, but it's certainly as a result of this video getting out there in the public. And that troubles me. You don't have to like it. You don't have to agree with it. You may have a strong opinion one way or the other, but should this, I started to say she or he, what are you supposed to say? Should this person be removed from, let's be politically correct here, their job? Remember, one person. Should this person be removed from their job because they have that opinion? Wrote a whole book about it. I am against stopping free speech, especially the speech I don't like. I wish the left could get a grip on that idea, because the First Amendment isn't there for you to be agreeing with everything. It's for you to be able to hear without threat of lawsuit, without threat of condemnation and social media shutdown, opinions with which you disagree. 303-696-1971. Let's hit the break right now. Blake Olson is in the 710 KNUS newsroom, and I've got some breaking news on the other side if he doesn't have it in this news break. Very, very interesting. Stay tuned. 710 KNUS. Feel good music. James Taylor. 4:47, coming up on 13 minutes to go until 5 o'clock. And we'll be joined at the top of the hour by Joy Overbeck to talk more about this potential effort to acquire a building by the Douglas County School Board, newly elected bunch, the Wildlife Experience Building on Lincoln Street in Parker, at a cost of over $30 million. And thanks to the great fast work of Matt Steinkruger behind the glass there, we'll also speak at 5:45 with Kaylee Weingard, one of the newly elected board members. And, you know, concern about this vote pushing through this massive purchase or something may have been a little premature. One of the many text messages coming into 710 KNUS this afternoon on the Stephen Tubbs Show. Randy, I put my faith in these Douglas County candidates. The ball was in motion long before they got elected. They didn't get the chance yet to, quote, kill the bill. Let's let them get the opportunity before getting upset. Believe me when I tell you, these candidates know exactly how we feel. We busted our humps to get them elected, and all of them know that this isn't even a thing that's on our radar to move forward with. So that's really good news. The thing that I guess got me sort of alarmed, and I got this story, you know, right before, really as I was heading in to do the show without a lot of notice about doing the show or the story at all, so I really didn't have a chance to do any follow-up, was that it looked like this thing was put on the calendar to vote on tomorrow night and wasn't on the basic Department of Douglas County Department calendar. So anyway, hopefully the board knows exactly what they need to do, which if this seems like a good idea, postpone it and really get the public involved before taking any actual action. But we'll get more on that from Joy Overbeck, Kylie Weingard at 5:45, newly elected Douglas County School Board member. 6 o'clock, Deb Flora, U.S. Senate candidate Deb Flora now, joins the Stephen Tubbs Show. And I had Matt print me out a list of all of the candidates. Let me find that again. I just throw stuff around in here like I own the place for 4 hours. So, running for governor of Colorado, Lori Clark, Jeffrey Fry, Heidi Ganahl, Daryl Gibbs, John Gray Ginsburg, Benjamin Huseman, Greg Lopez, Daniel Neuschwanger, Jim Rundberg, Destiny Workman. That's in alphabetical order. And is it way too early to care? Is it a problem that we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 people in the governor's race? And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 people, Republicans, all of these, running in the primary for U.S. Senate, Eric Odland, Eli Bremer, Gino Campana, Deborah Flora, Ron Hanks, Julie Henry, Joe O'Day, Peter Yu. Do you even know these people? Do you want to know them? Or is it just way too soon? 303-696-1971. When I came into the studio, I thought somebody had left something for me, and I don't know. It's a Washington, and Matt, you're claiming no responsibility for this, huh? Somebody actually left the Washington compost here in the studio, right here in front of where I sit. And here's the headline, which, of course, would be significant to somebody like me. Four conservative radio talk show hosts bashed coronavirus vaccines. Then they got sick by something called Paul Farhi. And apparently these are four elderly, which I think I'm about to approach, elderly talk show hosts who were talking, bashing the vaccine. And maybe this was left over from this morning. I don't know. But if it was left here for me, let me just say this. I have strong concerns about the vaccine. If you have listened to Wake Up with Randy Corcoran or saw when I was on Fox News with police officer Jose Manriquez, Denver police officer Jose Manriquez, father of four, sole provider for his family of six, Denver police veteran, 32 years old, healthy as can be, had COVID last year, survived it as virtually, not all, but so many, most young people, healthy people do. And the Denver forced vaccine mandate, because he couldn't afford to be without his job, he took it on August 21st, and by August 30th, he couldn't walk without assistance. Pain in his legs, his hands tremoring, looks like Guillain-Barré disease, and it's just a terrifying thing. And I met him through litigation on behalf of the Denver police, and that interview, Fox and Friends invited us on, and after a court hearing, and that interview led to just all day phone calls from around the world, from doctors with concerns, with people who were vax injured, and especially the information about our kids, how this works on your reproductive system. Why are so many young athletes all of a sudden having heart attacks while they're playing their games in practice? Heart attacks, myocarditis, inflammation of the heart is a big deal and predictable from these particular medications, or what they want to refer to as vaccines. Why did the CDC have to change the definition of vaccines? Vaccine used to be something that prevented you from getting the illness. Then it turned into something that reduced your likelihood of getting the illness. And now, under the latest definition by the CDC, it's something that lessens the consequences if you get the illness. Why do they have to go through all that? I was on a conference call last night with Dr. Robert Malone, one of the pioneers of this mRNA technology, which is wonderful, wonderful science. And he's literally testifying in state legislatures. He was in Louisiana today, testifying against mandating these vaccines for children. A big chunk of my family went through COVID-19 two or three weeks ago. And it started with my 35-month-old grandson. And so his baby brother got sick, and then his mom, my daughter, and her husband got sick. And, you know, you get terrified, of course, because many of you who know me or know my wife had a heart procedure, serious surgery, 4.5 hours of surgery, 4.5 hours on her back after, just 3 weeks ago. So, you know, I've got to protect her. I'm not going to vaccinate her with a heart that's been worked on and all that, with all of this heart inflammation garbage that's going out. Myself, you know, through the blessing of science and meeting Dr. Julie McCallan and the folks at Senogenics through Peter Boyles and them advertising on his show and seeing incredible health and energy and how sharp the mind of Peter Boyles is, who's been not only an advertiser not only been advertising for Senogenics, but has been a participant for a number of years, got me involved with them. I'm not worried about the virus, even at 62 years old, even with the history, bad history of bronchitis, even though I tortured my lungs as a kid because I experimented with everything I could get my hands on. I'm just not worried about it. But I'm not worried. I'm not against you doing what you decide to do if you're not being coerced into it, if you're not being propagandized into it, if you're not being having to face the decision to lose your job or take something that you don't know the long-term consequences for, especially if you're a young person or a healthy person or someone who's paying attention to the things you want to load up your body with to be resistant to the CCP virus and flu and everything else. I am not bashing the idea of you taking this vaccine if you think it's what's best for you and your family. I'm strongly cautioning you against giving it to your children until you learn everything you can learn about it, including reading the actual warnings about it and what it can and will do. Get outside of the mainstream media and find out all the stories that are being suppressed. Go to the CDC website and look at the VAERS, the bad reaction website, V-A-E-R-S, subsection of CDC. Do like I did when I defended the potential adoptive and current foster parents of a premature infant who they wanted to strip the baby away from these parents, very young, very healthy, because they won't take the vaccine. And I went to the CDC website during a court hearing and saw that barely over 200 children from 0 to 8 have died of coronavirus since it started. It's right there on the CDC to see. So if this was left here for me about conservative talk show hosts, if you want the vax, go get it. Just learn about it. Don't be forced into it. I am against mandates, period. Jay Overbeck joins us when we return on the other side. Blake Olson with your latest on the news, 710.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.